Karma Automotive, Forbes magazine's most anticipated luxury electric vehicle. Karma Automotive is a luxury EV brand designed and manufactured in California. Proud sponsor and official luxury vehicle of the Las Vegas Raiders. Charge the motion beyond EV. Karma Automotive. The Las Vegas Raiders have partnered with the global lifestyle app True Connect to give the gift of wellness. Transform your mind, body, and soul through thousands of hours of premium fitness content, guided meditations, progress tracking, and more. Visit tcfree.fit to redeem one free year of True Connect exclusively for Raider Nation.
The game is over, but we're just getting started. You're listening to The Fifth Quarter, presented by Twitch. On the Raiders Podcast Network.
Well, while the Raiders are lighting up their victory cigars for the final time in 2023, you're hanging out with Eddie Pascal and Jason Fitz in the Fifth Quarter presented by Twitch. And Fitz, 8-9, that's where your Las Vegas Raiders end up. They handle business today at Allegiant Stadium, 27-14, taking down the Denver Broncos to win 8 in a row against their division rival. More on that in a little bit. But we were talking about it before we started rolling, man. 8-9, certainly not where the Raiders wanted to end up in 2023. But to your point, feels a whole lot better than 7-10.
Yeah, 8-9 feels better than 7-10. But 8-9 also feels better than where we thought this team was going to be a month ago, right? How often were we sitting here saying, oh my God, are the Raiders going to be a top five pick in the NFL draft, right? Like, we were genuinely looking at that. And now you get this sense. And to me, I'm a big believer. I was sitting there watching with a bunch of people from Yahoo today. We're watching all the football games. And one of my producers, big Broncos fan, and he said, why do you want to win this game? And I said, you know what? You only have so many Sundays in your life. Did you get to sit back and watch your favorite team play? And when it's all said and done, I like to have watched more Sundays that were good than bad. It's a very simple thing for me. But I also think that there is this moment of carry forward. How do you feel? Like, when you look at the way some of the players on this roster have developed, when you look at some of the young guys that continue to become stars, when you look at sort of the step up that we've seen from so much of the roster, I want to feel like the Raiders are close to competing. And today, as I watched across the landscape of the NFL, I think they are. I mean, the Steelers made the playoffs this year. I do not think the Steelers are a dramatically better football team than the Raiders. So, you know, I look at it and say 8-9, part of what that gives you is some level of encouragement going into free agency in the draft that there is something to build on.
Let us stick with the young guys real quick. We look at today's game, and it really kind of the microcosm of the year fits, but you look at today's game, Zamir White goes for 112 yards. We've seen a substantial leap for Malcolm Kuntz. Jack Jones is out here playing at an incredible level. I mean, this is what we wanted to see over the latter half, right? We wanted to see development. We wanted to see maturation. We wanted to see incremental, tangible improvement. And specifically on the defensive side of the football, again, we saw it today. And it feels good. And look, I know no one is going to throw a party and celebrate the fact that the Raiders finished 8-9, right? Certainly not where we wanted to end the season. But all the same, we go back and we talk about kind of the goals, the objectives after November 1st, right? When Antonio Pierce and Champ Kelly kind of became the captains of the ship, so to speak. And I feel like we've seen a lot of the things that we've wanted to see. And it hasn't been pretty every week, right? I don't even want to bring up now in the grand scheme of things what that Vikings win could have meant to the 2023 Las Vegas Raiders. But all the same, by and large, we have seen a lot of improvement, a lot of growth, specifically from the dudes on defense.
Were you ever a big Madden player, Eddie?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone goes through that phase, right? I mean, you know, our friend Bryce Butler and I were playing in, you know, September, October, and I humiliated myself. But yes, in general, I did go through Madden phase like everyone does, yes.
Okay, yeah. No, I went through like a phase where I played Madden for money, all right? So, like, Ooh. Madden was a big deal for me. Like, I was quite the king on the sticks.
Look at
the
you.
But here's the reason I bring it up is because if you ever played in franchise mode, you understood that there was a period at the end of the season where you would spend hours on the game, not even playing a game. You are just playing the essentially like the Sims portion of the game when you're going through and you're trying to figure out how to improve your roster. For all of the wins and losses that have happened, one thing that you see today, to the point you just made, is that you've now started the next portion of the game of the season, which is where does this team stand today? Now, we're going to have plenty of time over the course of the next few months to break that down. But the pieces that you mentioned, I don't know that we knew 2 months ago that Malcolm Kuntz was going to become a foundational part of this defense. He absolutely is. We certainly didn't know when Jack Jones was acquired that he was going to become a foundational piece of this defense. I believe he certainly is. You know, right now, as we stand, I look at it and say the running back position, certainly, if the Raiders are going in next year as Zamir White's team, That's great. That's amazing. We did not know that a couple of months ago. So I do think it's significant. There's a bit of a so what now what? Okay, this season ends at 8-9. Now what? And the now what of this is there are several pieces here that I feel like you can genuinely build on moving forward, which changes the entire way you approach this offseason. No matter what happens with the coaching situation, there will be essentially an air quotes new regime. Even if it's the same regime, it's a new regime because now we've got an offseason where they have the chance to implement what they want. That regime comes in with a lot of tape on young guys and the ability to decide to build on them instead of necessarily tearing everything down and starting all the way over.
Real quick on Zamir White-Fitz. He goes 25 attempts, 112 yards today, 4.5 yards a carry. That will work. And big shout out to Colton Miller, who we talked about last week. Colton returns to the starting lineup. And boy, you know, we talked about it, man, for a guy who's clearly not 100%, who is going to gut through it. I mean, going out there, and you see the difference of what this guy means to this Raiders offense, this Raiders offensive line. But this one just crossed the wire, Fitz. And we talked about, you know, during the Antonio Pierce, Champ Kelly era, air quotes, what we wanted to see, right? And we wanted to see energetic, committed, passionate football. We wanted to see cleaner football. We wanted to see better execution. How about this? Your Las Vegas Raiders finished the season with a league low, put that in all caps, league low 75 penalties after their second game today without being penalized. It is the first time in franchise history they have ever had the fewest penalties in the NFL. How about that? Crazy.
So does that mean that the conspiracy theory of the...
Yes, can we put this to bed now? Put it to bed.
To be very clear, particularly now, you have one of the... I think this is fair to say. You have one of the most... one of the edgiest Raiders coaches we've ever seen. You've had somebody that on the sideline personifies, and the reason fans, me included, have all fallen in love with Antonio Pierce is he personifies everything we feel as fans, right? And he's standing on the sideline leading this team, and you had no penalties today? None? Not a single time? So, like, maybe we can start to accept the fact that most years the reason you lead the league in penalties is because you're not a disciplined football team. And now this year, you've got guys that are coming out playing aggressive, but playing within the limits of the law. Like, I just got to say it there. I just got to throw it out there.
100%, man. And we talked about, and we heard from a lot of people. I mean, you talk about, you hear kind of some of the fans say, hey, like, what does today kind of mean in the grand scheme of things? And the one thing that I kept going back to is a point that you brought up 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, where you say, hey, if you have an opportunity, if you beat the Denver Broncos, you're Antonio Pierce, and you can say, I have beat every team in the division. I shouldn't say I. We have collectively beat every team in the division in the past, what, 5-6 weeks? And so it means something to Antonio Pierce. I mean, we've seen the video start to trickle out of the locker room of guys enjoying the cigars, and I think the most important part of that video, Fitz, is the legends, the Raider legends that are in that locker room. Charles Woodson's down there. Freddie B is down there. My guy Jim Plunkett is down there. Like, I think to your point about AP personifying what a Raider is, right? AP has an understanding of what makes this place unique. AP has an understanding of, yeah, we're going to do it a little bit differently. We're going to keep our guys, all of our guys from the 70s, from the 80s, from the 90s, from the early 2000s, they're all going to be a part of the party. So the fact that everyone is enjoying their, you know, their last victory cigars of the regular season and all those OGs, all those gold jackets are down there, very, very cool deal.
Yeah, it speaks to identity. And I think one thing we have to accept, and, you know, you and I have jokingly talked over the course of the years about the Raider, whatever the Raider way is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, everybody wants to talk about what that means. And what we forget sometimes is that in the 70s and early 80s, particularly, it meant winning, right? Like, it was all above and beyond everything else. The results were accepted because they were great, right? Everybody knew you won football games. We've lost some of that. And through the course of this, you got to find out as a franchise what your identity is going to be when you try to win football games. Now, is your identity going to be that you do things a certain way? Is it going to be that you're different? Or is it going to be that you assimilate into the rest of the NFL? I think there is a logic to both. For Antonio Pierce coming in, he's basically saying, this is the brand. This is what makes this different. This is why people want to play here. This is why people want to be here. Vegas, a place that I know very well, a place that you live in. I think Vegas is a place also that sort of identifies with part of that personality. That's part of the win here. It's like the personality of the Raiders and the personality of Vegas aren't necessarily that different in many ways. I think this is an opportunity. You see, it sort of brings it together. Old Vegas, new Vegas. Old Raiders, new Raiders. Like, it all comes together in this moment.
Let us go back to the game, because I do want to zoom out at some point, but I just kind of want to zoom in on a few guys in particular real quick, Jason Fitz. Beginning with our guy Jakobi Meyers, man, who finishes his day, finishes his season just in an incredible passion for the, incredible fashion and an incredible passion for the silver and black. Jakobi, let me pull it up real quick. Where are you, Jakobi Meyers? There you are. Three catches, 33 yards, one touchdown. Let us not forget the rushing touchdown as well. So give him two on the afternoon. Man, Jacoby's been such a valuable asset to this team, right? I was talking with some of my Broncos buddies during the game, and they go, boy, what is it against about us, right? When Jakobi plays the Broncos, that he just has his best games. And we talk about the free agent additions that the Raiders have had, and look, there's been some that have been awesome. There have been some that have not kind of lived up to expectation. Hats off to Jakobi Meyers, man. A career year in silver and black. A guy who, you know, with Davante Adams here, it feels like he's kind of flown under the radar in the best possible way a little bit. But make no mistake about it, man. This guy is a big dog wide receiver in the NFL, and he was a huge net positive for the silver and black in 2023.
Yeah, and you've got to sort of couch the fact that he was a huge net positive on a year where, particularly at times, the passing offense struggled. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, very fair.
The fact that he was able to do what he did with the passing offense struggling is another one of those building block moments, right? Like, I believe Devontae is going to be here for a long time. You missed me with any other conversation on that. I think when you start to talk about Jakobi and what he's done in his development, he's become that guy that's really, he's a two that could be a one, right? And that's what you have to have in the modern NFL. Like, if you want to get the best out of Jamar Chase, you have to have a T. Higgins. I think we see more of that. If you want the best out of A.J. Brown, you got to have a Devontae Smith. Like, I think that's the modern offense. And then you look at today's game, particularly, and what Jakobi and Devontae have meant to Trey Tucker, who turns around and has, I think, his most solid game with the Raiders catching the football. And one thing we've seen a bit was the double catch has been an issue this year. It was not an issue in this game. I thought some of his routes, his one route that got up open on the deep ball was just it was a work of art, right? Like, so you start to look at the way that room is developing, and between Devontae and between Jakobi and between Trey, like, it just feels like the Raiders wide receiver room continues to be a strength that they can build on moving forward.
Trey Tucker's afternoon into the evening, 5 catches on 5 targets, 79 total yards. I mean, we talk about that maturation, that growth of the young guys, right? And I think you can include Trey Tucker in that conversation as well. We go back to the game itself, Fitz, and kind of a, you know, funky start to it. It kind of feels like both teams, you know what it felt like a little bit, is those boxing matches. You're kind of feeling each other out for the first couple rounds. Not a lot of action, nothing too exciting. You just don't want to make that fatal flaw, that fatal mistake that's going to end up with you on the mat there. But Raiders ultimately get it together, man. And we look at the 27-14 final score. Didn't really feel that close at the end. The Broncos get that final touchdown there in the fourth quarter. But, you know, really, a game, if you're the Raiders, that I think was the perfect encapsulation, the perfect embodiment of what worked in 2023, right? I said going into this game, and I get to feel smart for once, Fitz. I said going to the game, if the Raiders can hit 100 yards on the ground, if they can take advantage of the fact that the Broncos have had trouble all season stopping the ground attack from the opposition, if the Raiders can take advantage of that fact, I like their possibilities. Raiders finish with 129 yards on the ground. They go for over 4 yards a carry collectively. And we saw them when they are at their best, they're a run-first team. That's what they wanted to be when the previous regime was here with AP and Champ. That's what they wanted to be. They were effective on the ground, and that's exactly what they were today. And stop me if you heard this before, Fitz. The defense did its thing, and I thought there was such a beautiful, poetic mwah, that the fact that the final real play of this season was a Trayvon Merrick interception. The defense got to be the guys that wrapped up the regular season. They got to have that moment on the field, celebrate. We did it because, candidly, heartbeat of this team in 2023. The definition, the identity of the Las Vegas Raiders were a run-first, big-dog defense. I can't believe I'm saying that again, Fitz. A run-first, big-dog defense team. And the fact that Trayvon got to finish it the way that he did was just beautifully poetic. It made me happy.
I feel like if we turned this show into a shot game responsibly, we had to take a shot of water every time we've talked about Malcolm Kuntz over the last few weeks, every time we've talked about Nate Hobbs over the course of the season, every time we've talked about
Big Meek,
Diablo. I mean, you go up and down the list. There have been guys that consistently have shown up. And the funny thing is, this defense, I thought about this midway through the second half. This defense, maybe their biggest strength to me is that they have a short memory. Because what we saw a couple of times, they got burned on some crossing patterns where guys just didn't communicate well. And in the past, a crossing pattern that leads to a deep completion is going to lead to some sort of points. And then it feels like the wheels fell off. This particular game sort of encapsulated what we've seen so much of this year, where a deep completion just seems to be a reason for them to dial up the pressure. And before you know it, you got a Crosby sack, you've got pressure coming up the gut, you've got they're forcing Stidham into being uncomfortable. The interesting thing here is that what the Raiders defense has learned to do incredibly well is make other quarterbacks simply not be able to get comfortable. And that's part of the method to it. It seems like offensive coordinators facing this defense have a problem getting into any rhythm. Like, it's stunning to me because the Raiders defense seemed to have a hole for the entire back half of the season where you could run against them and nobody could ever expose them, because when you need to run against them, you can't, right? So it's really interesting to me the way this defense is put together. It's interesting to me how hard it is for other teams to get a vibe on this defense. Like, Patrick, I will say for one more time this year, there are a lot of people that owe a huge apology, fans included, to what they've been saying about the defensive coordinator, because last year it didn't look good enough and everybody's like, oh, fire the guy, he's a bum. And now you sit there and say, oh my God, he's brilliant, he could get head coaching interviews. Yeah, because it takes a minute to learn his defense and you got guys flying around on it. Like, if they're able to maintain any continuity going into the next season with this defense from a coaching standpoint, from a player personnel standpoint, God, I feel great about it.
Which, and you and I were talking before we started rolling too, like, not, I don't think it's out of left field or this crazy scorching hot take that this is, I mean, I've worked here for 10 years, Fitz. This is year 10 that I just wrapped up. This is without a doubt the best defense that I have ever seen covering this team. Statistically speaking, this is probably the best defense that we've seen in 20 years, right? Like, it's that kind of duration. Like, that's the kind of runway we're talking about, how good this Raiders defense has been in comparison to what we've seen in years past.
Yeah, this is a defense that could have won a Super Bowl. It could have. They had the necessary things to be that good. And look, I think there are pieces that you're going to continually augment. And as we all start to read a million mock drafts, everybody's going to talk about the same things. Mm-hmm. Interior of defensive line, interior of offensive line. These are constant conversations. You know, everybody's going to constantly say they need another corner, all of these things. But I just feel like what you learned here over the course of this year is the one thing that we undervalue as media and fans when we talk about teams is practice. And we undervalue what the organization can learn in it and what coaches become trustworthy of because of it. I felt like this was a defense that really trusted guys to go out and try to make big plays. And that led to the swarming. That led to, you know, we saw a couple of times here again where coaches were sitting there with Jones on the sidelines as he's coming over, talking him off the ledge a little bit, right? Like, you see this. They have found a way to get the most out of everybody and put everybody right on that Max Crosby frenetic pace of, like, chaos, but chaos with control. That's hard to do, man. And I think that chaos with control defines what this defense looked like this year.
Yeah, and it was, man, as a fan, right, as someone who's in the building and just wanting to watch fun, exciting football, this defense was a ton of fun, man. And you can really zoom out and you look at this 2023 Las Vegas Raiders team, and like we talk about a bunch, they're going to come up a little bit short of the goals that they had at the start of the season, right? But if you think, if you go back and think of all the ups and downs and obviously the big mid-season changes, some of the changes that we had leading into week one, people forget about that. You talk about all the bizarre things that happened to this team. One thing that was certainly never up for debate, especially once Antonio Pierce took over, was the heart of this team. There was not 1 minute, there was not one series where there was a lack of heart from your 2023 Las Vegas Raiders. And I think that regardless of what happens over the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, Fitz, I think that is the one lasting legacy of this team. Is this was a team that laid it all out there. There was no lack of passion, no lack of energy. And every single dude in that locker room was driving in the same direction, swimming in the same direction. And they just came up a little bit short, and that's okay.
I feel like when you talk about this defense too, you've got to have the context of what we saw across the league today, week 18. Right? It's pretty easy for teams to lay down. And you saw the teams that have quit and you saw the teams that haven't. And to me, defense is such a mindset. Aggressiveness is such a mindset. Getting after the quarterback is a mindset. The Raiders came in with a more urgent mindset than Denver. And I want to, like, just because fans yell so much, I want to name one other name that I think is important in this situation, because Tyree Wilson, yet again, comes up with a sack. And a tackle for loss. And I'm looking at the stat sheet right now. 4 quarterback hits in this game for Tyree Wilson. And it's just a reminder, because you mentioned week one looked a lot different than we thought it was going to look, right? Like, this was not the game that this was not the team we thought we would see. coming into week one because of the issues that were there off the field, right? I just think that it's a reminder that it takes a minute. Tyree Wilson disrupted a couple of times today, and I kept thinking, man, I'm really excited for the kid to see what an offseason could do, to see what the opportunity to work with Max through an offseason, to work with these coaches through an offseason, just to see what it's like to become a pro through an offseason. Like, I it's just another nugget of no quit in the way this defense is put together.
You know, and really across the board, Fitz, we talk about the vibes, and I was talking to our friends with the Broncos. I did their kind of pregame show earlier in the week, and my friend Sydney over there was asking me. She goes, "Well, how would you kind of describe the change in X for the Raiders since AP got here? Right? What is like the biggest difference that you've seen?" And I just told her, I was like, "Look, it's not the most philosophical or scientifically, you know, based type thing. It's the vibes, right? It's the body language. It's the enthusiasm. It's seeing Hunter Renfrow on the sideline with a big smile, right? It's seeing at the end of that game, right? We're at the broadcast is showing AP going down the line, dapping people up. It's Josh Jacobs who isn't out there being in Zamir White's ear, right? Hitting him on the helmet, getting his guys rolling. It's Jimmy Garoppolo for if you're any type of normal human being checking out, you know, wearing your fancy suits and living a fantastic life and have nothing to do with football. It's Jimmy G being on the sideline, being the ultimate hype king, getting Aiden ready to go, being there with Brian Hoyer to build this guy up. It's just all the things that don't necessarily, you know, show up on the stat sheet, Fitz, but you just see and you say, this is how it's supposed to look. This is a group of dudes that like each other and are really enjoying being together. And so for me, man, it was just so much fun to kind of see that, have that one more experience at Allegiant Stadium. But I want to ask you this, not to get too meta, but when we zoom out now a little bit, Fitz, does today, anything that you saw today, does it change how you feel about the entire collective of the 2023 Las Vegas Raiders?
Here's what it does. It makes me think, damn, what might have been.
Yep.
Right? Like,
yep.
Because I think you're right about vibe.
4 points against the Vikings, Fitz.
Well, yeah, one simple drive could have made it. I think for me, when I look at this, vibe and energy is such a huge part of culture in modern football. And you see it, you know, with teams that gel together, a lot of times you'll ask them years later, what made that championship run special? And so often the answer I've gotten when I've asked guys that very question about championship years, they'll come in and say, there was just something special about that group of guys. We came together. And, you know, I know I reference it all the time, but when I talked to Max after the Bisaccia year and I asked him what happened, and he talked about the guys coming together and how they bonded together. This particular group has bonded together, and it's really difficult to keep that bond, right? It's really difficult, and it's special when you have it. But man, you just see guys lifting each other up in incredible ways, right? And that's, you think back to some of the moments this year when there wasn't that, and you do have to look at it and say, man, what might have been? And I think that's going to be the one thing as you start to look forward is, man, what we've seen right now is what this group of guys looks like together when they're playing for each other, when they love each other, when they have that right vibe. How you keep that, I don't know. And whether it's AP here or whether it's somebody else that's doing that, that's going to be the biggest challenge they'll have. But what you just saw is that when that happens, as you referenced earlier, you win 3 of your last 4 games. And in those 3 wins, you get a convincing win over the Chargers that was so good that it got their coach fired. You get a convincing win over the Broncos. The score doesn't show how convincing it was. And you win at Arrowhead. If that doesn't show you that you can run the West, like that's got to be your mentality. It's like, look, everybody's going to improve this offseason. But right now, as it stands today, the Raiders finished in 2nd place in their division. That means something compared to picking 5th in the draft and only having 5 wins. Like, you just see where this team is headed.
And speaking of the draft, Fitz, this was confirmed before we started rolling. The Raiders will select at number 13 overall in April's draft. So number 13, that's where the Raiders are locked in. Just one moment I wanted to bring up, too. We talk about just kind of the energy, the effort, the no give up, for lack of a better term. There was one play, I want to say the 4th quarter, either late 3rd, early 4th, right? Zamir White is at the goal line, is, you know, pushing his legs, churning to get in. All the big fellows are pushing him, right? You know who's in? Did you notice he was in the middle of that pile? It was Aiden O'Connell. Aiden O'Connell was in the middle of that pile pushing Zamir White to the end zone. Now, Zemir didn't get in on that play, but just the fact that your rookie quarterback in a game that I don't want to say is meaningless because it's not, but in a game that has no repercussions for the postseason at all, your rookie quarterback is sticking his nose in there saying, let's go, I'm going to get you there, Zeus. I think just speaks so highly of not only Aiden, but the culture that Antonio has built, the buy-in, like you talk about, that all these guys in the locker room and the dudes in the practice squad are currently vibing, man. And it's a lot of fun to watch, but you hit the nail on the head. It's so bittersweet where you're like, man, there were so many moments this year that were awesome. There were so many. I know I've brought it up a couple times, but a few weeks ago, right, when Colton Miller, who was, I keep saying it, who was banged up and not 100%, grabs his helmet and checks himself in, right, to help this team do what they got to do in crunch time. Awesome, right? Like, incredible moment. The franchise point, incredible moment. But it makes you think, too, like, oh, we were 2 moments away from still playing football. We were 3 moments away. We were 1 drive in Minnesota. We were, a play here against the Colts. Like, it's the ultimate bittersweet, and I think it's such a hard thing to do as a fan, right, to enjoy those moments, to be able to say, hey, man, you know, these 25 things were awesome, but also acknowledge there were a few that if they had gone a different way, we would still be playing football and our story wouldn't be done quite yet.
That has to be, though, the thing that gives you a little more. Like, this year feels different than last year.
100%, right? Agreed, 100%.
Last year, it took miracle endings, and you sat there and thought, how the hell did we lose that game? Also, how the hell did we win that game? Like, you just, every single week, I felt like you and I were sitting there saying, I don't even know what to make of this team. Today, right now, like a year ago, right now, as we entered week 18,
Jared Stidham under center.
Exactly, Jared's, and we were asking the same, like, what is the identity of this team? Who are the Raiders? What are they trying to be? As we sit here right now, I can't tell you what's going to happen. You can't tell us what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. I should say that loudly. But as we sit right now, I know exactly who this football team is. I know exactly how they're built. I know exactly what they try to do. I know exactly how they try to beat you. I know exactly what their identity is. Like, I can look at my favorite football team for the first time in several years at the end of the season, and I can say, yeah, I know exactly what they're building. That's a different feeling. And it reminds me a little bit to go way back in the history for you, but not for a lot of fans. The year that Gruden finished 8-8 by winning at Arrowhead and keeping the Chiefs out of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's the year that really catapulted them. I know that this was not the Chiefs at Arrowhead. I know it's not a playoff team with the Broncos. But the similarity was that at the end of the year, that team felt like it was fighting for something. That team felt like it was fighting for each other. And that team felt like, you just felt like, man, you're right on the edge. You're right on the edge. That's how this team feels today. It doesn't feel like it was lucky. It doesn't feel like it was unlucky. It doesn't feel like any. This Raiders team got exactly what they earned. 8-9 is exactly what this team earned. But I would take that because I think it's the most honest assessment we've had at the end of a year in years for where the franchise sits.
Yeah, I think in so many ways, Fitz, I think we have clarity, right? I mean, going back to this time 365 days ago, right? Like, let's just go back in the Wayback Machine. You had no idea who the quarterback was going to be. The Derek Carr experience had come to an end. We knew that. But you had so many questions of who's going to be here, who's not going to be here. We were in such a transitionary period, right, where Derek Carr, regardless of how you felt about him, had steadied the most important position in sports for almost a decade, right? You were leaving that comfort. You were leaving that I know what this is box. And you were diving into the unknown. Now, certainly, do the Raiders have their franchise quarterback? I don't know that. You don't know that. Whoever is ultimately tasked with building this Raiders roster in 2024 will have to make that decision. But it doesn't feel like, even with that, let's call it a question mark, to your point, it feels like we know who the Raiders are now. We know what they're about. We know what they want to be about. And certainly, as is the case with every team at this point of the year, Fitz, right, the roster turnover is the inevitable thing in the NFL. We hear it every single season. It's like, what, 35% of your roster is going to turn over. That's just the way that the business works. But it's an exciting time, I think, right now to be a fan. And I think that the fact that we're going to have the Super Bowl here this year, I think the fact that the entire NFL world is going to get to see Las Vegas all lit up and see Allegiant Stadium on parade for the X time on national TV is going to be a blast. And I think there's going to be so much exciting momentum going into 2024 for this team, for this organization. It feels like, really, I know it's such a cliche, Fitz, I know that we're at the end of this season, but in so many ways, it feels like we're just at the beginning of this next chapter of the adventure.
So last year, last summer, last spring, a lot of Raiders fans that listen to my hits on Raider Nation Radio came at me at the time because I made it pretty clear. I felt like the Raiders were in the beginning of a two-year rebuild and they needed roughly, 18 new starters. I mean, I'm not trying to be over dramatic. I just felt like a lot of the defense needed to be overhauled. A lot of the offense needed to be overhauled. We just hadn't seen anything yet, you know? And as we start to look now, I think part of the difference when you talk about this team is that if you told me right now, we were just rolling this entire defense out next year, like when you mentioned what you said at the beginning of your statement, there was that we don't know if the next regime is going to bring in a different quarterback. Here's what I do know. The next regime does not come in saying, all right, with the first round draft pick, boy, man, we have needs on the offensive line, the defensive line, secondary, might need a linebacker, might need a wide receiver. Not really sure. Could need a running back, also need a quarterback. Like, that's not the conversation happening today. And that's a huge difference when you come in and say, man, feels like there are several position groups that may not be 100% set to where they'll be, but you could walk into it and say, hey, if we're rolling into this next year with this group being just the same, if this room doesn't change, I feel good about it. I haven't said that as somebody covering this team in years. I think that's the biggest difference for me. It's like, I feel like there are foundational pieces all over the place that you look at and say, yeah, you know, hey, I think for the first time since I remember there was this conversation years ago when at the time it was Carr, Mack, and Coop. And everybody was saying after the first good year, they're like, how are we ever going to pay all these guys? I think we are starting to do a conversation where now we can look at some of the young guys and say, oh man, this is awesome, because in a year or two, there are going to be some tough financial decisions that have to be made about young talent that's playing better. Like, this is what you should want, right? Like, so I think that's the exciting part about this, is it just feels like this isn't rebuild mode. This is tweak mode. And that's a much different process.
Real quick, Zamir White stat that just came through that I feel like we got to share because it's awesome. Zeus has notched his second career 100-yard rushing performance in just his fourth career start. He is, drumroll please, the only player in Raiders history to record 200-yard performances in his first four starts. There have been a lot of good running backs that have come through this place, man. A lot. And Zamir is the first one to have that kind of feather in his cap, man. When we look at 2023 fits, because unfortunately the reality is there is no more football for us to discuss in terms of the silver and black in 2023. The offseason program, the draft, the combine it's all going to be here before we know it. But in terms of Sundays and getting fired up for a game day, we are going to go into hibernation. We are going to wait. We are going to lick our wounds and hopefully come out bigger, better, and stronger than we finished this season. But going back to 2023, and we talk about the moments, and there's been a lot of exciting moments. There's been a lot of great moments. For you, what is the kind of lasting memory of this season? Give me the yearbook style fits. Like when we do the montage of 2023, what's the moment that's going to stick with you?
I think, well, look, if there's a game that's going to stick with me, it's the Chargers game. Because I don't think I've ever seen anything like that against a division opponent. You can pick one of 20 or 30 different moments, but the cover of the yearbook is the first win with AP in the locker rooms with the cigars. Mm-hmm. And it's not just AP. I know we talk about him too much on the show. It's Max. And I think what we're seeing, I said this earlier in the season, I will double down on it after we now finish the season. I think we're seeing one of the most impressive careers we've ever seen from any Raider. And I don't think that's hyperbole. And I know there's a lot of people that are going to come and talk about Hall of Famers. I think this was the type of year that if Max duplicates, he becomes an all-time great. He becomes a Mount Rushmore for the Raiders. It's only 1 year, a lot of places to go with it. But for me, the lasting image is the cigars, because it means something about the identity of this team. The lasting thing in my head is just the number of times I watched Max Crosby come after a quarterback and just run him down when you thought he was never going to get there. Like the long arms coming in and running people down is something that the swarming nature of this defensive line is what would be the highlight reel of the NFL films package week in and week out for me.
Certainly an incredible choice. I'm going to stick on the defense. I think my cover art, if you will, fit is going to be Jack Jones looking back. we talk about like just incredible individual efforts, just I'm bigger, better, more talented than you type of moments. And that was it, man. I mean, we saw the reaction from Mark Davis, which has now been, I'm sure, been circulated and seen literally millions of times since that. But that to me was like, That was our moment. That was our moment of 2023. And I think that a few off the field moments too. I think the fact that, you know, I think of obviously the cigars after that first win. I think of all of us exchanging texts, like, you know, from us here at the facility to the guys back at the stadium, like, oh my God, are they really smoking cigars in the locker room? And yeah, bro, they're doing it. Like, that was really fun. And then I think I don't want to say it's small, but it's certainly not as air quotes important as what we saw in the field. But during one of those first practices, I think it was the first Friday practice that AP was under center, and the dance line came back. Like, just that kind of moment of letting the dudes be dudes, letting these guys who are so tightly wound during the regular season have a little bit of fun. Like, that to me was like a big moment. That was like, okay, like, something here is a little bit different. And at the time, we're like, well, let's see if this works. But in hindsight, you're like, Antonio, let these guys be themselves. And we heard that from every single guy on the roster, from the punter to the wide receivers to Aiden to Max to everyone, right? He's like, he's going to let us be us, right? There's going to be a level of accountability. There's certainly going to be a level of expectation of what we are bringing to the field, whether it's the practice field or the game field. But it was just those moments of going back to the vibes. I think that's what I'm going to remember, Fitz. Like, I'm going to remember the good times. That's what I'm going to remember.
Let me say one thing about Antonio Pierce to me. When the only thing you know how to do is be 100% authentic, I think the only thing you know how to do is also let the people around you be 100% authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Antonio Pierce is not polished. He's not like so many coaches that have the right thing to say at the right time every single time, right? He's not the guy that you feel like knows the camera's on him, so he's putting on a show. He's not the coach. We got him down in Houston for the college football national championship game. I just dealt with Harbaugh for an hour of my time yesterday, and you just want to talk about somebody that, like, he's closed off, right? Like, Antonio Pierce is the opposite of that in so many ways. And I just think that that hit the pulse of these guys, because he's standing on the sideline saying, I got this chance and I got nothing to lose, so I'm going to be me. And it felt like that's the message that resonated for every single person that stood on that sideline. I got this chance. It's my chance. And I'm going to be the most authentic version of myself. Like, I think even the stars have been more real to who they are through this. Like, even Devontae has been more Devontae in this process. Like, I just, AP only knows how to let people be authentic. That's the reason. Like, that'll be my, whether he ends up being the head coach for the next 20 years or whether this was just an incredible run, I want to remember that portion of this team, because I think that's the essence he uniquely brought to this franchise.
I mean, going back to, you know, in the way back machine fits, following that Dolphins loss, right, where we heard from Tyreek Hill and he said, look, I know that we won, but he goes, these Raiders are different, right? Like, something is different with them. And you look at what was different, it was Antonio Pierce, right? So a lot of fun, a lot of great moments. Like, we've talked about a bunch, man. Unfortunately, the Raiders come up just a little bit short in their grand goals of 2023. But they win today, 27-14. It was awesome to give the fans something to celebrate on the way out today. You know, you beat a division rival for the eighth time in a row. Yes, the eighth time in a row, which is pretty incredible in the modern NFL. But big shout out to AP, man. Big shout out to every guy in that locker room. It was a lot of fun. It wasn't pretty all the time. We've certainly talked about the moments that it wasn't pretty, the moments that it hurt to watch on certain sides of the football. But overall, man, we had such a blast, and it was such a blast to hang out with you. We do this every, gosh, what is this, year three, Fitz? Is this year three?
Yeah, it's year three.
Golly.
Year three.
Golly. And it's fun, man. It's such a blast to hang out and talk football. And obviously, I do prefer the days where you're sitting here in the studio next to me, but I will settle for the Zoom version since I know you're a busy man. But, dude, just a blast in general. Always fun to hang. Always good to chop it up. And you hit the nail on the head, my brother. We got a lot to talk about over the next couple months. In terms of intriguing storylines, whoo, your 2024 Raiders are not going to lack in that department between now and that last weekend in April. But Fitz, for the last time for a couple weeks, because we are going to see you out here for the Super Bowl, correct? Can you confirm that officially?
Yeah. I'm officially out for the Super Bowl. I'll be out there hanging out for the Super Bowl. And look, I'm badgering you. We're still going to hang out. Like, if I can talk about my favorite team with my brother, I'm going to do it.
Official, Fitz will be here for the Super Bowl. But between now and then, Fitz, for the final time, where can the people find you and all the work that you got cooking?
Well, follow me on social media at Jason Fitz, always easy. And then check out all the work we're doing at Yahoo Sports. A lot of cool stuff out there. Quick hit video reactions. And I'm on every Saturday morning on Fox Sports Radio with the fellas from 5 to 9 a.m. Eastern. Always talking about the Raiders there, too. Somehow I work it into every conversation. Y'all know that. But check out the work there, man.
Yes, and we appreciate you. And come hang out with us because I'm sure we'll be doing stuff throughout the offseason. Like I said, we're going to certainly take a little time to kind of reassess, reevaluate. And like we said, a lot of big decisions come in the next couple of weeks for the Silver and Black, but we are going to be here the entire time to break it all down. So for the final time, and this always confuses me, right? Because it's the final time of 2023, but it's also 2024. It's just not as...
2023 season?
Yeah, for the final time in the 2023 season, for Eddie Pascal, my guy Jason Fitz, everyone else at Silver and Black Productions, just a genuine, heartfelt thank you to everyone that not only watches and listens to our little program, but also the folks behind the scenes that help it actually exist, right? Because Fitz and I, we just do all the talking and yammering, but in terms of the actual talent of getting the show off the ground, we got nothing to do with it. So a big thank you to all those people at Silver and Black Productions. And like I said, man, we will see you very, very soon. And before you know it, it'll be time for another episode of The Fifth Quarter presented by Twitch.
Thank you for listening to The Fifth Quarter presented by Twitch. Make sure to download the Raiders mobile app, and we'll see you next week.